We're starting a new book in Dispensation Bible Church, and it's in the introduction to the book of Daniel. I know we've been trying to do this for a while. I know when we do start a book, sometimes we take a little break from it. If not, it may be a year and a half from now, we're in chapter 2, verse 1. You know, that type of thing. But I do know when you talk with people and you tell them about the studies that we do and we're verse by verse, and they're like, you've been in that book for how long? Well, to me, we have between now and the rapture, the catching away, to enjoy the Word of God. Now, I gave you a little handout. This is something that is for your benefit, that over the period of time, and this is a study from Grace School of Bible, by the way. A lot of our studies when we do books is from Grace School of Bible. So when we do this teaching and somebody asks you to take a test, you should be able to answer them. So these questions here are may be able to help you in your learning and be able to teach or present your the book of Daniel in a way that is very easy to do. Now they're not something that may be in today. So that particular test is like 6 lessons or more. Or that the test is 7. Okay? So they're like, if you was taking Grace School of Bible, you would go through 7 lessons, 6 lessons before you take that test. Okay? So that's something I don't want you to sit there and look for the answer. That's your thing. Now, I'm not going to say that at the end of this we will take a test, that type of thing. So we're always in a testing mode. But the introduction of the book of Daniel, how many knows what the Daniel means? The name Daniel.
Servant.
You say servant?
I don't know.
God is my judge. That's what Daniel is. And we put a verb in there, God is my judge. But God is my judge, that's what Daniel means. And there's 12 chapters in here. And there's 357 verse. So if we took a verse a day, we still take us a year to get out of that, wouldn't it? But anyway, and there's 11,606 words in the book of Daniel. And what's interesting in 11,606 verses is that 606 is the date that Babylon captivity in which Daniel was a part of. So in 606, Daniel became part of the Babylonian captivity. Now, there's some things we need to remember about the book of Daniel. Daniel is a contemporary of 2 prophets. And you remember who they are, or you know who they are?
Jeremiah
is one.
Ezekiel
is the other. And Jeremiah prophesies in Jerusalem to Judea prior to Babylonian captivity. And Jeremiah warned Judah of the coming of that. So you had Jeremiah out there preaching. He was a young guy. Preaching about the fact that you're getting ready to go in captivity. You think they listened to that? You know they didn't listen to that. You know, it strikes me that you could be preaching the gospel, the grace of God, that saves people today, and people don't want to hear that. That's your opinion. You know, that's what you think. That type of thing. So we do have a gospel, a provoking ministry that can testify to people that, hey, you don't have to go through captivity. You don't have to be in bondage. But anyway, let's move on a little bit. Jeremiah warned them of the coming. He was there when Nebuchadnezzar army took over the land and carried Judah away. Jeremiah was left in the land because Nebuchadnezzar was given him an honored position because he was a prophet of God. Listen, when you're a prophet of God, who's doing the speaking? God's Spirit is. God's telling them what to do. So if they're convinced that that's a prophet of God, you know, most kings back then would leave you alone, would honor that. But after Jerusalem was sacked, Jeremiah wrote the book of Lamentations. So Jeremiah prophesies prior to captivity of Jerusalem, and for a short time after the captivity, Lamentation, and then he's gone. then you don't hear about them no more. Now Ezekiel, there's a lot of prophecy in Ezekiel, aren't they? And you know, Daniel, all this, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, all those major prophets that we call, there's like five of them, you know, people enticed and intrigued in that type of thing, aren't they? They want to know what prophecy going on. Hey, these are latter times, that type of thing. And you know, you're looking at signs and wonders and things that's going on. Well, hey, they had signs and wonders and stuff going on. They had prophets telling them exactly what's coming down the pike. But what percentage of would you think that understood that and followed that? Very little, wasn't it? Very little. And we look at that today, Denzel went like this, very little. There's only a certain percentage today that believes the gospel of grace of God, that you're in the dispensation of grace of God. And how do you be saved today? Hey, have you ever wondered why it may be taking so long for God to take the body of Christ out of here? You ever, you know, Satan, I know we're in a mystery of iniquity that don't already work.
He's dealing with a man who thinks he knows it all.
You know, maybe there's not that many people that's going to heaven that says they're going to heaven. You ever thought about that? So that's still said, because we're put in a position, I believe, that through those fallen angels, and it's going to take some time. It's 1/3 of the angelic creation followed Satan. That's quite a bit. And it may take some time for God to replace that. Because why? You may not believe the gospel of the grace of God. You may not believe the gospel of Christ in the dispensation of grace with God. You believe, might believe something else. Well, so let's keep moving. This is why it's going to take us probably a year and a half to get through Daniel. Because there's a lot of information in there that we can apply and understand what's going on. But Ezekiel is carried away into Babylon. And several years after Daniel was carried away into Babylon. Ezekiel is an older man, around 30 years old, when he was taken there. Daniel was just around a teenager when he was taken in captivity. Now, Jeremiah and Ezekiel prophesies, speaks, and relates directly to who? You know who they directly to and about a certain people? Israel. That's who they was solely about. On the other hand, Daniel prophesies in the relationship to the Gentiles. And Daniel's view in the book of Daniel is not much just at Israel, but it looks at the landscapes, and he sees Jerusalem, world powers, and they're dominating over Israel. So they're in the times of Gentiles. And he looks out, and he sees that. And he is a type of Israel held captive by the Gentiles. Now, I don't want to jump far ahead, but doesn't Daniel talk about the times of the Gentiles? You think that's changed? Has changed?
No.
So even when the Lord Jesus Christ came to set up his kingdom, did that change? No. Who was in power over Israel? Rome, Caesar. You know, that type of thing. So that has not changed, guys. So we have to remember that. And Daniel lifts up his eyes and he prophesies across times of the Gentiles and covers a span of what the New Testament, I just mentioned, times of the Gentiles. And what do you know about Gentiles? What does it mean? Anybody about a Jew? Or the easiest way to identify is nations. Okay? That's what nations. Now, because of the different looks and views, when Ezekiel and Jeremiah looked at Nebuchadnezzar's captivity of the Jews, do you remember how he described Nebuchadnezzar? Go to Jeremiah chapter 25 and Daniel chapter 1. Jeremiah 25. Two books to the left. If you've got the right Bible, it's page. Just joking. Got a smile on Ben this morning. He's got the right Bible on today. Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 1. It says, "The word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judea in the fourth year of, was it Jeroboam? Jehoiakim, thank you. The son of Joaz, is that
Josiah,
thank you. Last night, yesterday, I'm looking at these words, and I did have a Bible out, how you pronounce Bible words. Josiah. And today I want to say Josiah. You know, Joshua or something, you know what I mean? So I do appreciate you guys that you're not correcting me. You're helping me, and I thank you for that. And I do stand corrected. Thank you. So when I come to those words, I stop. If you want to pronounce them, I'd greatly appreciate it. You know, I told you years and years ago, there's a building block in my English or vocabulary that I failed to probably go. I probably was hid under the table somewhere or out in the outhouse or something. I don't know. But look, what's that?
Josiah,
king of Judah, that was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. Now, that is the date in Daniel chapter 1, verse 2, given to Daniel's captivity. So the year that Daniel was carried away into captivity, the word of the Lord comes to Jeremiah in the land, and Jeremiah has prophesied about Nebuchadnezzar. Now, Jeremiah chapter 1, with me? Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 2 says this. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 2 says, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 2. To whom? The which Jeremiah the prophet spake unto all the people of people of Judea and to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, now this is Jeremiah's preaching to the people who? Wait a minute, where am I at?
You're in the wrong one.
Okay, hang on. Maybe that's...
Are we supposed to be in Daniel 1, 2 or Jeremiah?
Hang on 1 second.
You know, when a rabbi is wrong, we're supposed to stone him.
I'm with you. Maybe it's 25. Check my notes. Okay, 25.
Jeremiah
25, sorry.
Jeremiah chapter 25?
Yes. You was there before, right?
Yeah.
All right, I'm sorry. Jeremiah 25, verse 1. Verse 2. The which? Jeremiah the prophet spake unto all the people of Judah and to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, now who's he preaching to?
Jerusalem.
Judah. Isn't that not weird, but you find that, who else came speaking to Jerusalem and Judea as a prophet?
Jesus.
Well, who was before Jesus? He had a front one. Yeah. Yeah. He came speaking to Judea and said all of Jerusalem and Judea was baptized of him. So this is who he's coming to and speaking to. And go to verse 8. Verse 8. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, because ye have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, what's that next two words?
My servant,
will I bring them against this land and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them, and make them an astonishment, and a hissing, and a perpetual desolation. Did you notice what Jeremiah called Nebuchadnezzar?
My servant.
He is Jehovah's servant. And Jeremiah, because he's looking at Israel and he's thinking about Israel and what is going to happen to Israel, he sees Nebuchadnezzar, a heathen king, as an instrument of who? God chastising and punishing the nation Israel. Can you think of another king? Or possibly Pharaoh that chastise and punish the nation of Israel? Yeah, you can. And did not God use him?
Yeah.
Yes. So God has a way of dealing with governments and putting people in power, if you will. I know we vote people in power, but if you have somebody in power that you don't think he's a saved individual, what does that make you do?
Vote against him.
Not so much that. What should you do? You should ensure yourself that, hey, you need to still pray for this guy. You know what I mean? You may not like him. You still got to pray for him. God's still in control. And did he not set up governments? That's your fourth institution, human government. And that human government God ordained to protect your free will, marriage, and family. And we know that there's some places out there that's trying to destroy all that, right? But look, let's move on. Jeremiah calls him my servant. In Ezekiel chapter 29, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. I'm getting these. But you don't have to turn there. But he does the same thing Ezekiel does in chapter 29 and chapter 30. The idea is about that they are looking at Israel. Okay? And Jeremiah is in a land and Ezekiel has been carried away into exile in Babylon. So you have these people in these places that God had there to explain what's going on to people. You know, so I can imagine that people just went along their happy way with them. Take me. You know, don't hurt me. That type of thing. And they both see Nebuchadnezzar as Lord's servant and chastise and punish the people of Israel. Now, when you come to the book of Daniel does not look at it the same way. And Daniel sees Nebuchadnezzar as a head of a great what? Colossal world empire. And he's going to take over and rule the whole world. Could you imagine that? The whole world? Somebody ruling?
Well, no, they say the whole world. They mean the world that they knew of.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, it could be, I don't think it's Massillon, Ohio
at that time.
But the thing was, the whole world was the whole world. Right. There was evidence that it was up in England, that type of thing. You know, whatever they conquered, they kept going and going. And they conquered things that other people had conquered. And you know what's fascinating is when you look at some of these ancient world history channel stuff and see the way things was made. And they got these, maybe I'm going off track a little bit. There's something on the Nile River that there's four big images. They got a name for them. And they're sitting on a chair, and they got the Egyptian headdress. No, not the Sphinx. That's a woman and a lion and all this stuff. These are. It's right there and right on the Nile, and they said that it would take 1,000 men a day, with 3 chisels, to get that done, and they're 60 feet taller than the faces out in Mount Rushmore. And I'm just listening to that because if you think you had 3, they did some wonderful things out there, unless you believe that it was there before that.
How about aliens?
Well, don't you think that God sped that up or made it easier? I mean, he had to increase their knowledge to be able to do the things that they did.
The things that they did there is just like you couldn't do it today.
Yeah.
You know, they showed making Mount Rushmore with chisels and dynamite. But what I'm getting at is the fact that he was the empire of a great... This is during Pharaoh's days. that was made. And did Nebuchadnezzar destroy all that stuff? No, they didn't destroy that stuff. I believe they continued to use it and kept it going. You know, that type of thing. Nebuchadnezzar is the beginning. Thou art the head. Was chapter 2, verse 38. Chapter 2, verse 38.
Is that Ezekiel?
Ezekiel. Oh, excuse me, Daniel.
Daniel, I
mean. Walt's putting words in my mouth up here. Daniel chapter 2, verse 38. And whosoever the children of the men dwell, the beasts of the field, and the fowls of the heaven, hath he given unto thy hand, and have made thee ruler over them all. Thou art the head of gold. He is the beginning of that Gentile world dominion. And Daniel focuses on the career of these Gentiles. You know, there's a lot of history there. There's a lot of truth there. Now, in the book of Ezekiel, it's said over 70 times, there's an expression that says, thou shalt know that I am the Lord. And if you think about all this stuff over here, the I am the I am. I am the Lord. So the things that he was doing, you're going to know that I am the Lord. Now, what's tough even today when we're putting certain situations and not, you know, like when you get working, you know, I shared this with you before. I was so frustrated with my job, I was ready to throw 18 years out the door, you know, because of some changes going around. You know, new bosses, living in a new location, not getting home the way, it was very inconvenient to me. What amounts to, whoa, woe is me, that type of thing. Well, a lot of time it's not about me. But the thing is, you forget who you are in Christ and you let things aggravate you out of your control that you say, no, no, that's not me. I've got to be who I am in Christ no matter what the situation is. Health related, work related, whatever. Don't that make it easier? It does relieve some pressure for a little while. But look, I know that I am the Lord. That is a key phrase in the book of Ezekiel. And there are similar comparison phrases in the book of Daniel. Go to chapter 4 in the book of Daniel. Chapter 4. Chapter 4. And you want to write down some of these verses of the theme book of Daniel. Verse 17 says, this is a matter by decree of the watchers and the man by the work of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the bases of men. If you want to look, you know, verse 25, was the issue, we're going to write down 25 and 32, but the issue of the book of Daniel is the fact that the Most High God rules in the kingdom of who? Who's ruling in the times of the Gentiles?
Men.
Yeah. So he's still, the Most High is going to rule over them. So when we look at some things that's going on in times of the Gentiles, even today, we know there's man that's ruling over us, right? But who's ruling over them? That's our focus, isn't it? That's who we should be thinking about. Then the Most High God is one who plans and rules over the kingdom of men. Verse 25, the last part of the verse. Till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of man and giveth it to whomsoever he will. Verse 32, you see the same thing in the last part of the verse. Until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of man and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The point and idea of the theme of the book of Daniel is that God Almighty is the what? Overruler. Hey, wouldn't that bring you peace in that time? Knowing that, hey, yeah, we're going to go through some troubled time and things don't go, but who's going to rule over them? You know, I keep thinking about Israel and the land. How long was they down in Egypt? How long was they prophesied to live down there? How many? 400 years. Do you think they was, didn't they sing a song?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
Song of Moses.
Yeah, Song of Moses. And didn't they sing that song about a redeemer? My redeemer liveth. Do you know what book they had down there that talks about his redeemer liveth?
Job.
The oldest book in your Bible. And they had it down there. The patience of Job. And they're probably saying, just be patient, guys. Our time's coming. Our time's coming. Our time's coming. How hard is that today? Don't we sometimes want it now? I want. My wife looks at me sometimes and says, well, you're mad enough. You can get what you want. I'm like, really? Yeah, I can. Like a little kid then, you know, you just turn me loose in the candy.
If she and you agree.
If she agrees. Dan's like, I can ride on a motorcycle. You know? But thing is, then you look back, sometimes you say, do I really want that? Is that really something I want? That type of thing. It makes you think. Hey, listen, I love shopping. I'll go out for hours with you. Don't necessarily mean I'm going to buy anything. I buy, you know, a slice of pizza or something. You know. But listen, this is the thing. My Redeemer liveth. They got hope, don't they? And the ruler. And God Almighty is the most high God. Remember back in Genesis chapter, go to Genesis chapter 14. We're going to be all over this thing. And we can just relax. And Genesis 14. What do you know about Genesis? What's it called? Book of Beginnings. The Most High God is a title that refers to God in a most special way. In Genesis chapter 14, verse 18, And Melchizedek, well, Abraham had won a battle. Melchizedek is the king of Salem, has brought bread and wine to Melchizedek, and was the priest of the Most High God. And it says, verse 18, and Melchizedek brought you to, well, we just read it, verse 19. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of what? Abram, the Most High God. What's after that?
Heaven and earth.
Comma.
You see a comma there? Comma. Who is the Most High God? Who is the Most High God? Possessor of what?
Heaven and earth.
God.
That's who the Most High God is. Now, we may put gods on pedestals on this earth, but there's only one Most High God, and what, comma, what is, who is it? Possessor of heaven and earth. You with me on that? That's who he is. That's when people tell me all the time, I talk to coworkers all the time, yeah, you know, until I got God in my life, you know, that, I was just most miserable to God. I'm waiting to hear which God they're talking about. I'm very particular on when you say God, which God you're talking about. Because why? There's many gods. And if you don't identify God of the Bible, God of creation, that's where I stand. With me? That's who I... And if you can't identify who His Son, Lord Jesus Christ, you can talk about God all you want to. Hey, Muslims talk about God. They believe in God.
Any God.
You know? They do. Well, but that's their God.
To me, it comes down to capital G's and little G's.
That's a good identification. And blessed be the Most High God, which He will deliver thy enemies into thy hand. And He gave tithes of all. The issue in tithes of the Most High God is verse 22. And verse 22, in the same time, and Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, comma, what?
The possessor
of heaven and earth. It is that title in the relationship of God as possessor in heaven and earth. The Most High God ruleth in the earth. You know what else He's going to rule? in where? Heaven. In the beginning, God created the Maslin Tigers. I see that all the time down there. You go down, I'm just joking because there is a big mural downtown. In the beginning, God created, and on the eighth day, he created what? Maslin Tigers. That type of thing. You know, like, you know, that's man's way of saying. But he is ruler. And Isaiah 14, go to Isaiah 14. We'll go a few more minutes. I'm going to try to keep this lessons around 30, 35, if not 2 hours and 15 minutes, okay?
Watch out.
We're going to Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14. Verse 14. Verse 12 says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weakest the nation?" Now, who's he talking to here? Who's Lucifer? Okay. That was his name when he was had a title. That's who he was before he fell. "For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of configuration, in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the most high," what? There's five I wills in there. Okay? Most high. Satan plans is to be like who?
God.
Or what the verse say?
Most high.
Most high. What do you know about the most high?
Possessor of heaven.
So what is Satan trying to do today?
Possess.
Well, you know the fact that he's the prince and power of the air. He's also known as what? The god of this world, the little g. See? So right now, spiritually, he's already possessing those positions. But who's over that? Don't ever forget that, guys. Satan wants to be the possessor of heaven and earth. And here in the book of Daniel, when the Gentiles begin to take over and begin to rule things, God is going to demonstrate that he is the possessor of heaven and earth. He is the one that rules in the earth as well as in the heavens. And God's purpose with Israel is to restore his authority where? In planet Earth. When Adam fell, he gave the deed up to Satan, if you will. Hey, what did God tell Adam to do? Possess. Dominion. Keep. Dress. The earth. And when he fell, Satan said, "Huh, I've got the deed." But when after he flooded the earth, God, and he commissioned Noah and his sons, what did he commission them to do? Have dominion over it. You know, go back out here and do what they didn't do over here. And how'd that work out?
Not too good.
But the thing is, to restore his headship, his kingship, his authority, his rulers on this planet through the instrument of the kingdom vested in and given to the nation Israel. That's why when we study right division, we understand that God made a distinction between what? Heaven and earth. I'd be fair to say that 90% of people out there don't see that distinction. You've been there. Probably got t-shirts, hats, bought right into it. But the possession of heaven, he made that distinction. And he ruleth on his planet through the nation Israel. And that's why a guy sent me something I need to look at. But there's people out there, and some of you will come against them, and probably already have. And a lot of people say that the mystery program that was not revealed to Paul It was really hidden back here in the Word. Abraham, it was, Abraham talked about it, but he just didn't know it.
Hidden by God.
Yeah. Okay. That type of thing. So if you know what I'm talking about right now, God did not reveal how he was taken back to heaven until it became the dispensation of grace. You with me? There's verses upon verses. But when you think that this program was hid back over here, but they just didn't know about it, that don't add up. Because who is trying to be like the Most High God? Who is wiser than Daniel? Daniel was probably one of the wisest people we were going to think about in the scriptures. But there's one more person out there, God's creature, that was wiser than that.
Solomon.
Not Paul. Paul wasn't... Paul,
well, not in his time.
Not in his time.
Devil.
It ain't Job.
Solomon.
It's the devil, Satan. If you think he knew what was going on back here when they was writing these scriptures down? Didn't he have people out there, kings, to destroy? Well, there's one king that took a penknife and cut the scriptures out. And what did he do with it? Burn it. And what did God tell? He did the whole Bible. Everything Jeremiah broke. What did God tell Jeremiah to do? Go and write this again and add this to it. So the preservation of God's Word, you're not going to destroy it, guys. And where is it supposed to be hidden at? We should have enough words in our heart that we can take a lost man and lead him to the Lord and become alive. But the possessor, God is the rightful king and the possessor of heavens also. And that's where we come in as the body of Christ. So he's using Israel as an instrument on earth. Boy, did they fail? We look at that. Yeah, boy, Israel, I'm glad. You know, if we was part of Israel then, chances are we'd have failed too. If we was following leaders that did not believe the Word of God. Right? The book of Daniel centers on these kinds of issues. And there's a key verse in Daniel. Go to chapter 2. I'll try to close with this. At least lesson one, or the introduction. We haven't got to lesson one. But look, Daniel chapter 2.
What verse?
Chapter 2, verse 44 and 45. The theme of the Most High God ruleth in the kingdoms of men. Remember that, right? Daniel chapter 2 verse 44 is one of those verses that sums totally and the goal of all prophecy. The prophetic program is all moving towards what you read in Daniel chapter 1 verse 44. Chapter 2 verse 44. And in the days of these kings shall God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand for how long?
Ever.
For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hand, and that it breaketh in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, and the silver and gold. The great God hath made known to the king that shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is a certain, and the interpretation thereof. Now, that gold, that silver, that clay, that's that great image. And the great God has made known the king that shall pass over hereafter, and the dream is certain, and interpreted sure of. When you read the book of Daniel, and we need to read the book of Daniel if we're going through it, please don't take my word for it. Just read through it in your reading. You know, just look over it. Make some notes of yourself. When we get to it, we'll go over some things. It is highly symbolic, and you can be assured what he's talking about. However, the verse says the dream is certain and interpretation is what? Sure. So when you just come to the book of Daniel and believe what we read and take it what it says and try to understand the context of plain, ordinary meaning of words, and we'll make the best of it as it can be, God will expose some things. The theme of the book of Daniel has to do with the fact that the Most High God rules in the kingdoms of men. I've said that three times. So when we asked about what is the theme of the book of Daniel, your response will be?
The Most High God rules over the kingdom of men.
Thank you. And the key verses? The key verse is chapter 2, verses what? 44 and 45, which demonstrates the goal of prophecy being established of the kingdom on earth by God of heaven. And then next lesson we'll pick up there five different things that, to remember when you study the book of Daniel. Any comments, questions? Thank you. Once again, Lord, we thank you for the day. We thank you for the time you've given us. And what an excitement that we can study the book of Daniel and just relax and just see that it's a great book. And one about the times of the Gentiles. And maybe we can understand why we are in the world that we are in. But also, more importantly, we have a plan. You have a plan that's in us and we're in you. That when the dispensation of grace of God is over, that you'll be taking us out and placing us in the heavenly program. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.